Moneyline with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line coming to you guys from the DraftKings Network. We welcome our audience in here for hour number two. Also, our audience on Samsung TV Plus. We appreciate you guys watching us here on this Football Friday where we are going three wide. Femi Abebefe hanging out with Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino. Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first round pick and a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. We had a fun first hour breaking down some NFL, college football. We'll continue to break down a little bit of college football later on in this hour. College football playoff implications, Heisman implications on this big Saturday coming up tomorrow here. But let's begin hour number two, kicking things off with the National Football League. And I think a game that's really interesting. I'm curious to get your guys' take on this one because it's one that I've had trouble handicapping. And that's the New England Patriots at the New York Jets. Right now, the Patriots, 2.5 point road favorites over at DraftKings, total sitting at 36.5. And this is an 0-2 team going on the road favored, or you can go ahead and back Zach Wilson against the greatest defensive mind in the history of football. What say you guys here with the Pats at the Jets Sunday afternoon?
I think the total is interesting. It's a very low total in the NFL, 36.5 points, but I don't know how you go over. New England can't run the ball.
Yeah,
I mean, the offensive line is just not good enough to run the ball. I mean, Miami was giving them the run, and they couldn't take advantage of it. I mean, this Jets front is going to give him problems. And yet at the same time, you have Zach Wilson. So it's hard. I lean under in this spot. I don't even know if I'd take the Jets if it got to a field goal. I don't think I can back a side here because all I look at are deficiencies on both teams. So I lean under. I haven't made a play, Pritch.
Yeah, you know, Mike and Fem, they signed Will Greer. The Patriots did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's going on, right?
Uh-oh.
Seriously.
Are you saying there could be a QB change?
Well, I'm not necessarily implying that or saying that, but I think Mac Jones and what's going on with this offense is troubling, right? I mean, Mac Jones didn't play in the preseason. That bothered me. I'm like, why wouldn't you play him with O'Brien in this new offense? I mean, get some run, right? But, you know, there was rumors certainly with Bill and Mac and all this stuff. And the way that Mac operated last year, I think he just lacks poise. Now, I'm not putting it all on Mac Jones, though. This offense is a work in progress. You're exactly right. They cannot run it. In fact, their play selection is skewed heavily towards the pass. And you wonder with that type of defense, why would they do that? But I think they're lacking identity on offense. And with that Jets defense, it gets interesting. Now, the other side is Zach Wilson. And if you're Nathaniel Hackett, you have to take the ball out of his hands. You have to use that 1-2 punch you have at running back. And you have to control the game if you can. I think the Jets offensive line, they can run block. They can. But you got to be committed to it, right? These quick step drops and all this stuff. I mean, that's predictable too for Zach. Get away from that. Take the ball out of his hands. Use play action if you want to simplify things for Zach Wilson. But don't allow him to throw multiple picks in a game and have you lose the game, right? Especially with that defense.
Yeah, and I feel like the plan last week for the Jets against Dallas was to lean on the run game, but the game kind of got away from them, and then eventually it's like, all right, well, we're going to need you to throw some passes. Yeah. And then it really got off the rails there. Zach Wilson started throwing those interceptions in the fourth quarter. But I guess for my question with you guys, as it pertains to the Patriots, and this will also kind of tie into the Sunday Night Football game with the Steelers at the Raiders, how much stock do you put into kind of the first couple of weeks going up against elite competition and tougher opponents? Because in New England's case, they started the year going up against the Philadelphia Eagles, who are one of the Super Bowl contenders, the Miami Dolphins, who are now thought of as a Super Bowl contender. And then for the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road now against the Las Vegas Raiders, everyone's criticizing that offense. Matt Canada's under a lot of fire. The fans were chanting for him to be fired in a game that they ultimately ended up winning. But the Steelers going up against the 49ers defense, which we saw last night, once again, one of the best units in the league. And then this Cleveland defense that has proven to be one of the better units in the league. How much, when you handicap, does the kind of the competition, especially early on in the season, or still trying to figure things out, how much does that factor into your handicap going forward?
Well, it has to. But I also, the Patriots played two games at home and they lost two games. So does Denver. I mean, they start behind the eight ball with two home losses.
Right.
And now they have to go on the road. I mean, against a team that they dominate, right? I mean, they've played well. The Jets have had a hard time had a hard time with them. Pittsburgh, let's not forget the Browns defense. They gave up 12 points. I mean, or 13 mm-hmm. points against it, right? I mean, it was two defensive touchdowns. So they have played against two elite defenses, and that won't be the case for the Raiders. It doesn't sway me enough in the New England to make a play on them in the game. We'll discuss this Pittsburgh game where I have a lean for the Steelers in this the Raiders.
If you could get three, would you bet Pittsburgh?
Yes. Absolutely.
All right. There's a three in the market, minus 110.
Absolutely. Where's it at?
It's at our old friends over at the South Point.
Oh, really?
Hey.
Well, maybe I'll swing down at Showtime.
There you go. So, as always, shop around. The consensus number on that is 2.5 minus 120, and the total sitting at 43. But I sort of agree with you that I think three is the key number. Now,
yeah.
I haven't seen an updated injury report, whether it's like Minka Fitzpatrick or any of those guys. I don't know if he's going to be playing this game. I know he was limited in practice yesterday dealing with the chest injury. I think you'd want to have Minka Fitzpatrick play in this game.
Yeah.
If you're going to go ahead and bet the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right. I mean, Jacoby Myers is going to come back too for the Raiders. I think he's going to have an impact because he's got a rapport with Garoppolo already. I mean, Devontae is going to be fine. The Raiders got to get their running game going. They got to get Josh Jacobs going. And certainly, if you watch Pittsburgh, their inability to stop the run or give up big plays in a running game, I mean, you have to stick with the run and utilize play action. Where teams get in trouble early on in the year, especially in September, is when you're so drop back oriented, but yet you're not prepared for that. There's teams that are prepared to be drop back because that's what they want to be. That's their identity. But if you're more of a balanced attack and all of a sudden you have to skew it because somebody's shut down your running game, you see teams scrambling right now. It's so early on in the year. It's not like we're watching November football. And so there's issues out there, and then turnovers come into play too. But that's what's happening with the Steelers. Like, the Steelers have an identity crisis going on offense. Mm-hmm. They have Pickens, who is incredible. Mm-hmm. They got to get the ball to him. They have capable tight ends that they can get the ball to. Johnson goes down with a hamstring, but they have other players that they could feature in this offense. And Matt Canada is trying to break out of this conservative mode or this Pittsburgh Steeler blueprint that has worked since the 70s. So you got Kenny Pickett too, who's having some issues. They're not executing. I think a lot of people want to see Pittsburgh get back to being Pittsburgh, but in order for Pittsburgh to get through the playoffs, they have to be more dynamic offensively, and they're working through that right now. And they're stumbling, but once it comes together, that thing is going to look spectacular though.
Yeah, especially, I mean, Pickens is a terrific wide receiver. We saw him have the touchdown last Monday night here. Pritch, would you play that? Would you play Pittsburgh in this spot here, or do you think that this is kind of a stay away?
I mean, on the road? I'm like Mike, because there's going to be a ton of Steelers fans coming to Vegas.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great.
Terrible
it's
towels.
Be great.
Oh my
terrible
goodness!
Towels all across the strip.
So we could get a three, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and if that happens, then yeah, I mean, absolutely, I take the points there.
All right. Well, that game is a Sunday night football game. Steelers at the Raiders. Some people are complaining about this game on social media saying, why is this the game on Sunday night football? It's Kenny Pickett versus Jimmy G, but it's two really big fan bases.
Yeah.
That's why we have this game.
It's old school
70s rivalry that we all grew up on there. Steelers with the Raiders. Let's get back, though, to the early window. And the team that Pittsburgh beat last Monday night is the Cleveland Browns. They are 3.5-point favorites at home against the Tennessee Titans. Total 39.5 in that game. I do have a bet in this game at a number that's no longer available because it seems like all the threes have been taken off the board here. But what do you guys make of Browns-Titans later on this weekend?
Well, so you laid the three.
I laid the three.
Yeah, I like the Browns here in this spot. I hate the 3.5. It's tough. These games that are 3.5 are very difficult because what do you do with them? You're not going to tease through zero. You know what I mean, though?
Right.
How do you find a creative way to play the game? Do you put them in a money line parlay? I mean, it's $1.70.
Yeah, could do that.
Do you buy it down to three? There's a lot of different things here. Or do you hope that it gets back? I mean, obviously, it's still shaded towards the three, which way it would go right now, with the majority of money tilting it that way. But I don't know if it'll get back there. I think Tennessee is really going to struggle to move the ball in this game. I really do. Tannehill, this is a game ripe for Tannehill to commit two or more turnovers, right?
Yeah.
And for Cleveland to be able to take advantage of it. They'll have a full week to figure out what they want to do without Chubb. They were thrown into that in the middle of the game, not having him. I think this is also kind of an under-the-radar survivor play that I think there'll be more plays on than people are really taking a look that, you know, they're identifying five or six games. This is not really one of them, but I bet you it has 300 or 400 survivor entries in it as well.
Hey, are we crowning Cleveland here? Yeah. We are. I mean,
you want to crown them? Crown them.
The Browns are who we thought they were.
I mean, are we crowning Cleveland?
Let them off the hook.
Conklin's out. Yeah. Chubb is gone. That's a big part of that offense. And they've played two physical games so far. And I know I know what you mean about Tannehill, and I agree with you on that. But it is Vrabel, it is Tennessee, and it is an attitude coming. It's a blue-collar attitude coming to Cleveland. And they're going to buckle that chin strap. I mean, that's another physical matchup for Cleveland. And we saw against Pittsburgh, Garrett, you know, Miles, you know, kind of limping a little bit. I mean, that takes a toll when you get up for these big games, these heavyweight fights, and you get after it physically that way. I'd be curious to see if Cleveland, crowned and all, can get up for, because this is going to be a fist fight.
Yeah.
Tennessee's going to come up there looking for a fist fight. And I like the points in the game, to be honest
with you.
I can do some other things with teasers, too, if I want to.
Yeah, you can tease it up.
Yeah.
Would you look at this total under 39.5?
I'm not great at picking totals, so I kind of stay away from totals.
If it's a grinding game, you know, like that.
Right. I mean, and sure.
You never know weather in Cleveland.
You never know weather. It's right
any
next
season,
to that.
Any season.
It's right next to that water. Yeah. And I mean, anything. But
it's so chilly out there.
Yeah, Deshaun's not that dynamic. He's running it, right? But passing it, he's not dynamic yet.
He's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, we'll continue to break down the NFL card on the other side. Contest strategies and some interesting games that you might want to highlight with your contest coming up here this weekend. This is the Lombardi Line. Hang it out on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with the Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, MLB, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Stop betting in the dark. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code WINNER to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here on this Football Friday. We will get back to college football a little bit later in the next segment, but let's talk a little contest strategy, because we do have the contest rolling along. Unfortunately for me, I am knocked out of Survivor, but hey, we're in the Circa Million and we can do that the entire season, so we're going to have some fun with the Circa Million. When you take a look at the Circa Million lines, the lines that you guys put out here for the Millions contest, I'm sure there's obviously other contests all throughout the country here, so you can follow along. I'm always fascinated to see the differentiation between the Millions contest lines and then also what the current lines are, because we do have that in a number of games, whether it's Texans, Jaguars, Panthers, Seahawks. Do you try to take advantage of those early on in the season, or do you try to avoid those? Because I think a lot of people sort of kind of think about that as like, oh, there's a little bit of value here in taking these teams where the line has moved.
I mean, I think the most interesting thing about the Circa lines, and Michael always sits there by his computer in Ocean City. He's waiting. Because he knows that our guys in the back are trying to come up with the line the game's going to close at. And he uses that as an indicator of what the action's going to be like. And that's where he'll ask me on those, do they think it's going to close here? Do they think of the Chiefs? You know, is it 13? I said, yeah, the debate wasn't whether it's 12.5 or 13. It was 13 or 13.5, right? Because that's where we feel that it's going. So people can kind of use that to get closing line value. It's very rare that we shaded a point or a half point one way and it goes the other way. So I think you use it as a betting tool for your live bets as well. I don't know that this early in the season there's a lot of strategy involved about stale lines other than if you just think there's some value in that. Later in the year, you'll get people going the opposite way because you've got to make it. Or even in the last week of a quarter, remember, they'll go the opposite way because they're trying to make up games. It's like head-to-head competition. They know the majority are going to be on this, especially if it's a two-point move or more.
Yeah, I love the information you put out in terms of, like, there's two people right now,
only two that are 10-0. There were 110 plus that were 5-0 the first week, and only two of those entries and 5-0 the second week.
Halfway into the quarter.
Absolutely, right? And so from a consensus standpoint, how's the consensus doing?
The first week it went 2-2-1, I believe. Okay, yeah. And then last week, 3-2-2.
It's all over the place.
Been a factor one way or the other. I know Brady used to like to focus on fading the consensus when you go to do your live betting on Sundays because it had a really rough stretch last year, middle of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is too early. But to your point about static lines and, okay, where are these lines going to end up? And we were just talking about Steelers-Raiders. And that guy, that line could probably get to 3. You know, that could be an interesting play here for circa million. You know, Jacksonville, too. Femi was talking about this, like, and we were talking in terms of, you know, how good is Jacksonville? Have they put it together? I mean, are they good enough to lay 9 inside? You know, the Texans, they're scrappy. The Texans are scrappy. I know they're banged up a little bit, too. And then, you know, the Saints catching points on the road against the Packers, you know, after Jordan Love and that performance. I mean, injuries for the Packers are interesting to me. And a young quarterback who, by the way, I think is starting to show up.
Yeah.
You know, you have some success and then you think you know it all. And then are you going to still be coachable? Trying to do too much in Atlanta, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, to look like a fool out there. but serious, that's the sign to me. And I said this in offseason. The thing about LaFleur is his coaching. And there was a shot of him talking to Jordan because he knows he has to keep this guy coachable because he's going to have success. He's going to look good. He's going to be like, okay, here goes Green Bay. They had Brett, they have Aaron, and now here's Jordan, right? We look good. We're fine. And he's going to have that early success. And how is he going to handle it? Is he going to think he knows it all or are you going to still remain coachable? I think there's room there for him to have to be coached up. But I wonder where he is as a player right now. So that one's interesting. The Saints are the Saints. You know, Derek Carr is Derek Carr. They're down running backs. I get that. He's not prolific in the passing game in the red zone. We know that. But defensively, you know, I think the Saints can handle anybody out there.
Yeah, how much weight do you take out of the yard differential in that game in Atlanta? I mean, Atlanta dominated yards from scrimmage in that game. And Green Bay, this was a remarkable stat out of this game, on non-scoring drives, had one first down. They put nothing together. The consistency, not there. So this is a tough game for me. This is a stay away. I still need to know more about Green Bay. Yeah. And I had Green Bay plus 1.5, right? Last week.
There you go.
I win the game. We had perfect. It all was perfect, right? And he's going, Smith's going on fourth down there where he's in field goal range. Where I kind of thought, I think he can give Love the ball back and still feel confident. I don't know if you want to take a chance, but he's very, you know, their ability to run the ball for a yard, they're very confident that they can do that down there. So it all worked out, and then they go, you know, 4 and out and really even mustered much here.
They got
here,
too conservative after doing that, right? That's what I think. I mean, Arthur Smith's going to have to break through that a little bit. Go win the game, right? Especially with the personnel that he has. But, you know, the Saints and millions, the Saints is at 2, plus 2, they're getting 2 points. But, it's an interesting situation. Green Bay, the running back has a pulled hamstring, I believe. You know, you still got Watson with a hamstring. I mean, these young players with hamstrings, by the way, they're not in shape. Yeah. You pull in hamstrings early in a season like this, you're not in shape. And that's on coaching. That's on the fact that you can't identify that as coaches.
And that's something that we've talked about a couple of years now. I mean, like you, I know, Pert, you've always mentioned that these guys don't build up that callus throughout preseason, throughout training camp, because a lot of preseason and training camp is just the focus on getting guys healthy to the regular season. You get them healthy to the regular season, then they tear their hamstring in the first couple of weeks, and now it's they're missing regular season games. So we'll see what happens. But as it pertains to the Packers, though, this from Rob Domofsky, who covers them over at ESPN. He said Christian Watson was back after sitting out yesterday, so Watson's back at practice. He was over there. Aaron Jones practice yesterday. It was still getting stretched out inside when the media was viewing the practice. So Bakhtiari did not practice. Elgton Jenkins, their other offensive lineman, didn't practice. So they could be down their entire left side of that offensive line for the Packers. So keep that in mind if you're looking to invest in Green Bay or if you want to go ahead and take the Saints at +2 because New Orleans has a pretty good defensive front. If there's no Bakhtiari, no Elgton Jenkins, Jordan Love could be under a little bit of duress in their home opener at Lambeau Field. Last question on the Circa Million before we get to Circa Survivor. Do you think the Rams are going to be one of the popular plays if tomorrow we hear that Joe Burrow's been ruled out?
I don't.
In the contest.
I don't.
You think people avoid it?
Yeah, I do. I still think people, maybe the Rams have played a little above their heads the first 2 weeks here. And it's tough because of going on the road. I think people are loath to use road teams. Let's say the line shifts 6 points and they become a 3-point favorite if Burrow's out. Let's say that that happened. People don't play 3-point road favorites until you get to the end of the year and you're limited in your choices. I don't think this will be a very popular. I think this game will be not used, probably maybe one of the least used games in Survivor all week.
Highly familiar two teams right here, because the Bengals are the Rams East, basically. Zach Taylor is mimicking what McVay does with the Rams, scheme-wise, everything. Now, the Bengals don't have a quarterback. Is it Jake Browning?
It's Jake. Go Huskies. Montlake Jake.
Right. If Burrow does not play and they don't have a backup, they're going to have to, we have to watch the transaction wire today to see if they sign a quarterback. And who is it going to be?
Keely Smith.
Okay. Does he know the offense?
Yeah. He did when he was there. Okay. Can we at least get
Jeff Blake? Jeff Blake? Oh, boy. But so would the fact that they have two quarterbacks on their roster dictate to them that they're going to have an injured Joe Burrow out there playing?
Charlie Batch. What kind of shape is Charlie Batch?
We joke, but anytime the Steelers needed him during the Big Ben days, he would come in and play well. Yeah. He did the job of a backup.
Sure. You pulling out some great days,
honestly.
I'm old.
Circa Survivor, though, and there's other Survivor contests, of course, across the country, but we're sitting here at Circa. We'll talk Circa Survivor. Interesting week, because we have a lot of big favorites. I'm counting them right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven last night with the 49ers, but six favorites for the rest of this week that are at least 6.5 or more. Is this a week where everybody just kind of goes with the chalk and all that stuff, or should you get frisky this week and get cute like I did last week and got knocked out?
No, I don't think people will, because look, we're already a third of the field is out, a little more than a third. And so people that have played conventionally and taken the consensus choice have to feel good that a third's out already, right? And it could have been a lot more with the Giants. I think it'll be the big favorites. I can't tell you how many people took the 49ers, but it wasn't an insignificant amount.
Okay.
It's a pretty decent chunk last night that are home already after week three. They're marching on to week four.
Good
for them. It'll all be these double-digit favorites.
Yeah, Kansas City for me. Yeah. I mean, I love the fact that the information, again, inherent value of your ticket right now based on the number of people left in there. Kansas City, you can look at Christmas if you want to. I listen to Mike. Don't think about Christmas at this point, because you know they're going to host the Raiders in Christmas, right? But I'm not even thinking that far. I'm like trying to get there, right? So Kansas City against Chicago, I mean, I don't know how people can't have that one.
Talking about Christmas. Let's just get to Halloween before we talk about Christmas here. Which of those big favorites, though, is most likely to lose, in your guys' opinion?
I said Baltimore. I thought the Colts have the best shot at an upset here this week.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
I think Jacksonville will be a sneaky choice as well against Houston. I think they'll... It'll depend on how many people don't take the Chiefs because of Christmas.
Yeah. Well, that's a game that knocked me out last year in week five. So my advice, stay away from Duval County. We'll talk some college football futures on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN shows are clashing. We've got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSiN, and we need your help to win. At stake is a $1,000 voucher at Circa Sportsbook to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. To sweeten the deal for you, you'll save 10% when you sign up for a new VSiN Pro annual subscription and use promo code Lombardi. Bragging rights and a juicy futures ticket is on the line. It's time to start betting smarter and help us do the same. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up for a new VSiN Pro annual subscription. Save 10% off with the promo code Lombardi. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. $1,000 is at hand, folks. We need the help. Promo code Lombardi here on the Lombardi Line, your favorite show here on VSiN. Yeah, I said it. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard. You want to say something?
Michael and Stormy come up with a consensus Super Bowl future ticket that you're going to use that $1,000 on if you win? You better start talking now, because you guys are the favorites. You guys get the most distribution.
Well, Stormy's going to want to settle down. Settle down.
He's pulling back the curtain. Mike.
I feel like in that vote, I feel like I'd get outnumbered and we'd end up using the Niners. I feel like because Stormy obviously is a big Niner fan. Uh-huh. Lombardi obviously has a lot of respect for Kyle Shanahan and the Niners and what they do here. I would be pounding the table for Dallas, but I think I'd get out.
Oh, no, they won't let you have Dallas. They will not.
2023 could be a new year. Cowboys are the best player in the league. Micah Parsons heard it here first. But we do have a massive weekend, though, in college football. We talked a little bit of college football in the first hour. I want to kind of talk about this from the 10,000 foot view standpoint, because the big games that we have, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs, big Heisman implications, big college football playoff implications. And in anticipation of this weekend's games, I have made a Heisman futures bet this week. So we've been talking about the games that everybody's going to be watching. We all know Colorado is a ratings bonanza. They moved the needle in college football in the year 2023. And there's been a lot of buzz about Colorado's quarterback, Shedeur Sanders. If they ever pulled off this victory as a 21-point dog, Shedeur Sanders' Heisman price of 25-1 is probably going to go to about 5-1. Right now, he is 18-1 over at DraftKings. However, with Colorado having a lot of hype and a lot of eyeballs being on the Buffaloes, I went the other way. And I bet on Bo Nix at 30-1. He's 25-1 over at DraftKings. But I'm going to bet on Bo Nix 30-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. And here's why it has to be done this week. We know this is going to be the most watched game on Saturday, Colorado at Oregon. The total in this game is at 70. We talked about this earlier in the first hour about how Colorado's offense will be able to put up points on Oregon's defense, thus requiring Bo Nix and the Oregon offense to continue to score. I think that's why his numbers not been down, but they haven't been as gaudy as some of the other Pac-12 guys, because they've been getting up in these big games and they kind of pull the dogs off and pull all those starters out. But I think they're going to be required to score into the 40s, if not into the 50s, to go ahead and beat this Colorado Buffaloes team. So Bo Nix 30-1, even at 25-1 over at DraftKings, I like it as well. But this is the week for Bo Nix to kind of put his hat into the Heisman Trophy race, because I think Oregon's schedule sets up pretty well to be maybe be a one loss team and potentially go into the college football playoff this season.
I'm going to let Pritch go, because he said he knows the full Bo Nix story.
He does know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I
here's
do.
Where I get depressed about my bet.
Yeah. I mean, Bo Nix at Auburn, and you know, the coach that was from Boise, that
Brian Harsin.
Yep. Bo was supposed to turn in, you know, his dad is dictating a lot of things, Bo Nix. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be a pro. My son's supposed to be a pro. You know, let me find a school where I can be a pro. And it has so much of, who's the backup quarterback in Seattle right now?
Drew Locke.
It has so much Drew Locke written all over this, entitlement kind of thing. Now, hopefully he can turn into a pro quarterback. We'll see. I don't think he's there yet. He's got so much help around him.
Yes,
you know, the thing about that bet, Femi, is say it's a competitive game and Shedeur goes off. Do you know the next game, the next week?
It's against USC.
And it's like, who's going to be thinking about Bo Nix, even if they win? But if it's a close game and Colorado covers the number, they get inside the number. But Shedeur throws for 400 yards. The showcase and the eyes and the celebrity of the whole matchup in Boulder against Caleb and Shedeur, everybody's going to have blinders on when it comes to the Heisman, because they're going to be like, okay, these two guys are going to be the front runners, right? And that's all Shedeur has to do, is get inside this number of 21 points, I think. And that's highly capable, in my opinion.
So what you're saying, Pritch, is you'd have booked Femi's bet.
That's what I'm hearing. But here's my counter to that, though, and why I think that Nix is the solid bet here, is that Nix gets this game, total of 70, by the way, that this is a high-scoring affair that is expected, at home at Autzen Stadium, where the crowd gets loud. They're going to start playing Shout and everything. It's Autzen Stadium is a raucous environment. Having covered games in that stadium, that's a legit stadium and a legitimate home field. He also gets Caleb Williams in his building as well later on this season. Mm-hmm. If Bo Nix at the end of the season says, hey, I beat Shedeur Sanders, I beat Caleb Williams, are we going to overlook Bo Nix in December?
That's a great point.
If Oregon is on the doorstep of going to the playoff, like, sure. I think that this sets up favorably for Bo Nix and this Oregon team to maybe make a nice little run here in the Pac-12.
Your counterpart, Stormy, calls him Home Bo Nix, because he plays much better at home than he does on the road, which is a concern. I don't love the bet either, Pritch, to be honest with you. But you know who my eyes gravitate towards is Penix at Washington.
Yeah, he's good.
I mean, you can make the argument they might. I know they don't run the ball particularly well, but I don't think they're that far from USC from being the best team in the West.
Right.
The defense is better than USC's.
Yeah.
And Penix is going to put up yards against everybody. I still think it's Caleb Williams to win or lose. And if he doesn't get injured, I think he's going to win the award, because he's, you know, he's playing in L.A. They're going to be showcased all the time. They're a top five team. Mm-hmm. They're going to play that big game against Notre Dame at the end of the year. But Washington is interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, what's your viewpoint on Heisman? Is it going to be stat-driven? Is it going to be, you know, that moment-driven, the narrative? What's going to capture the narrative here?
I think that the Heisman, you're going to have the wins, because the story of the college football season this year, outside of just being Colorado, is the quarterbacks. There's so many good quarterbacks across the country. A lot of these guys are going to be putting up the stats to where I don't think Caleb Williams is going to win the Heisman. The fact that he won it last year, I think, hurts him. They're not going to want to go ahead and give him back-to-back Heismans if he's on a team that doesn't go to the playoff. And when you look at USC's schedule, like, I get offensively they're electric, and Caleb Williams, in terms of the best player in college football, it's him. Like, I'm not even debating that. He's the best player. But they're at Notre Dame. They host Utah, who they still have to get over the Utah hump, if we're being honest. They're at Oregon. They host Washington. They play UCLA. Do we believe that this USC defense can go unscathed in all of these games playing all these really good quarterbacks? I don't think so.
I don't know that they have to, though, because I think they can put up 60 on almost anybody. I just think their offense is that good that they can get through. Now, do you have a game where you turn the ball over a couple times and you give up 49 and you lose the game? It could happen. It could happen. But... And I'm not advocating that you bet him at plus 350.
Yeah, it's a short price.
I said I passed on the Heisman market because he was such a short price to be. And now Penix is even down to less than 6-1. Yeah. It's not a bet either. But he catches my eye. I mean, the way they went into East Lansing and just whatever they wanted for three quarters was pretty impressive to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a quarterback-driven award, too, but we saw Devontae Smith win it, wide receiver. Mm-hmm. You know, could a wide receiver sneak in there? I don't see any premium running backs to kind of get this award. It's going to be a quarterback, like you mentioned. And, you know, there's so many candidates, though, at good prices still on this board. But I'm thinking of the showcase games and what college football has turned into. The hype machine that it is now, and the hype machine that you created. I think Deion was serious when he said Shador's not coming out because of the NIL money. Caleb can come back to college because he might be drafted by Arizona. I mean, I think there's a lot of these decisions being made or being thought of by some of these premium players in college football right now. And so does the Heisman become that more important? Probably not, right? Certainly, you know, you got to look after your health and make sure those things are okay. But I think the board is littered with a lot of quarterbacks that could have a chance to win in Heisman this year.
I think a couple guys to kind of watch out for as well as we kind of have this Heisman conversation. Obviously, Sam Hartman with the game coming up tomorrow. That's a massive game. If Notre Dame wins that game, that 10-1 goes to about 5-1. We see him join Michael Penix as a second choice, I think, if he plays well.
He has the benefit of Notre Dame because it's still regional voting, but Notre Dame appeals in all regions. Maybe the Southeast is the least, but Northeast, Northwest, West, Midwest, they appeal because of the Catholics in all those areas. Maybe not in the Deep South and the Southeast, but he gets a Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. If Notre Dame can get Notre Dame to a one loss season and get them in a playoff consideration, he's got a big edge.
Oh my God, yeah, he's got a whole network, NBC.
But it starts this Saturday because they can go win at Clemson.
Yeah.
Then it becomes, can they beat USC?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then that becomes the big game for the Heisman there with Caleb Williams. Yep. Also, keep an eye maybe on Jaden Daniels. I know the FSU game was bad and they lost that one, but he didn't play bad. He actually put up really good numbers, and he put up really good numbers last week again. They're a little bit under the radar this week. I think they play Arkansas, so that's not one of the marquee matchups, but if they continue to kind of put up points and win games, I think Jaden Daniels at LSU could be a potential Heisman guy as well. So Bo Nix is who I'm riding with.
Drew Lock part two.
God bless
Patrick Nix. Yeah,
man. Drew Lock part two.
I'll tell you, when he throws six touchdowns on Saturday, we'll have to all text about this when Bo Nix.
Well, their implied total's 45.5, right? Their
that's
team
why you
total.
Bet him. Yeah. That's
He's
why you bet him now.
To throw six touchdowns.
That's why you bet him now. That's why you bet him now. Okay. Those numbers are going to start looking good.
Do it at Auburn, but he'll do it in Oregon.
Yeah. Hey, Bo Nix, you heard it here first on the Lombardi Line. All right, we'll wrap up the show on the other side. We're hanging out here on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abbefe, on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw five down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up with code Vegas. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, with code Vegas. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line, going three wide here on a Football Friday. Femi Bebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here. It's been a fun show on this Football Friday. Obviously, an awesome college football card that we have coming up on Saturday. And that leads us to our pro tip for the day here on the Lombardi Line. And with so many high-profile games, this college football slate, we know the eyeballs are going to be on. So if you have a Heisman bet that you're curious and want to make, or if you have a college football playoff bet that you want to make, I feel like there's a lot of high leverage spots this weekend to where now's probably the time to go ahead and bet those if you have a strong opinion in these games that are coming up on tomorrow's slate.
Well, I would agree with you. And also from a playoff standpoint, a national title standpoint, a conference standpoint, you can get ahead of these numbers instead of betting the individual game, which what part of what you're doing here with Bo Nix, you're taking the future to before the number moves quickly on Monday.
Yeah, no, totally agree, because, you know, for so long, and coaches dictated scheduling, right? And you know, you get to this part in September, you're not playing these marquee type of matchups, these showdowns kind of matchups. And now that's happening. So sooner than later, certainly try to grab some great numbers out there for some marquee players, some key players that could win the Heisman or any type of feature situation.
Yeah, to win the national title as well. As, I mean, that Ohio State and Notre Dame game, like, we talked about the Heisman in the last segment, but as it pertains to the national title, one of those teams is going to have one loss. Mm-hmm. So if you think that, hey, one of these teams is going to have a loss, that, all right, I like Ohio State, but I think they're going to lose the game, maybe you hang back and wait to bet them after the game, because that's probably where they're going to be their lowest until they go have to face Michigan or Penn State or one of those teams. Same as with Notre Dame as well. If you like Notre Dame to win, I think it's now or never to go ahead and bet the Fighting Irish.
To your point, too, because this is how much college football has changed. And, like, let's stay on Bo Nix, because at Auburn, he was nowhere near Heisman Trophy candidate.
I thought he was awful.
But Caleb was a Heisman Trophy candidate at Oklahoma, right? I mean, people thought of him that way. Yeah. And so it's like you change locations and all of a sudden now you're in the mix, right? And so there's so much of that going on. Grabbing great numbers if you like them, certainly that's a really good pro tip.
Yeah, no, I think it can be a fun Saturday, and we'll see how the dust settles after the weekend. But I can't wait to watch all these games here. This is, like we said to start the show, perfect Saturday to just sit back, relax. No events, no nothing, no pumpkin patch or anything like that on this Saturday. I think this is a good one. You're laughing.
Mike's like, what's a pumpkin patch?
I end up going to the pumpkin patch four times every year.
Four times?
Oh, God. They love it. They love
it. Kiddos. I got kids.
I'm the only one up here.
Date night? You're taking the girl to the pumpkin patch.
I'm the only one up here asking, what's a pumpkin patch? Because I'm like, what's a pumpkin patch?
Yeah, I guess Vegas, it's hard to have a little pumpkin patch out here in Vegas. Yeah, you guys get set up in there.
You got
to
be careful about certain patches in Vegas growing up. I mean, pumpkin patch. What's a pumpkin patch?
They set up. It's like a little carnival. And they set up the rides, and it's a Halloween theme, they can charge exorbitant prices for them to do all this stuff.
Do you do the caramel apple when you go to the pumpkin?
No, we do not.
You don't do the caramel apple?
No, we do not. We do the blint cake or whatever. My wife always gets that big strawberries and whipped cream and whatever. And we all split that.
Mm-hmm. Now we're all going to the dentist next week after all that. Let's get back to the football, though. As we wrap
Femi, let's go through your bets. I want to go through the games that you bet. Yeah, the games that you bet. You had a whole list of games. Asterisks, this, whatever symbol that you bet the game, you were going to bet the game, you might bet the whatever. Let's get to it.
You need a key to break down my bets. I bet Cleveland laying the three. We talked about that one. Another game that I bet, I liked Washington. So I took the 6.5 with the Commanders. I'll sprinkle a little bit on the money line as well. I think they might have something cooking with this Commanders team. With Eric Bieniemy in that offense, I think they're definitely live. And that defense, especially the defensive line, I think can give Buffalo trouble on the road. Another sellout for the Commanders. This kind of fan base has been sort of reignited with this 2-0 start. I think this is going to be a game where we're sitting there at 12:45 p.m. West Coast time, 3:45 East Coast time, and it's like, well, is Buffalo in risk of losing? I think that's going to be the kind of the story coming up on Sunday. So I like the Commanders getting 6.5, also a little bit on the money line as well.
Did you take more away from that game in Denver about Washington or about Denver? From that, I mean, they outscored the Broncos 32-3 in a stretch in that game. That's mind blowing to me.
Well, what wasn't mentioned on the network, and shame on me, is and I don't know if this would have factored in anybody's handicap, but Bieniemy versus Vance Joseph too, right? Those guys are fraternity brothers. They know each other very, very well. And I was interested in the matchup. I think it spoke volumes to me what Eric has done with this offense. Washington could be an outlier team this year. Mm-hmm. If Del Rio gets his act together with that defense, yeah, right?
That was bad last
year. Oh, my goodness. But how he has Sam Howell ball placement. You know, these are finer coaching points that Sam Howell hasn't had yet until now. And Sam Howell, his game is elevated. Some of those throws he made in Denver, I'm like, that's Eric. That's coaching. That's the fact that he's on him. That's the fact that he's worked with Patrick Mahomes and all this, and he's carrying that over. So, you know, these players for Washington, even though they fought it a little bit, some of the, you know, Rivera didn't handle it properly.
He was coaching them too hard.
But Rivera didn't handle it. He tried to separate himself. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, wait a minute, Eric's onto something. Eric won 2 Super Bowls. He's onto something. So you get this buy-in, much like the Giants had that buy-in with Daboll last year. With this football team, they could be an outlier football team this year.
Jimmy, I want to go away from your picks for a minute because I wanted to ask Pritch this, and then I can't believe the show's almost over. I didn't know we were in our last segment.
Yeah.
But we talked with Michael this week about the coach GM perspective on Justin Fields and his comments.
Right.
What's the perspective in the locker room from the players where he sits there in an interview 2 days after a game and says, it's the coaching, they're giving me too much info, F it, I got to be me. I mean, what does that do for you as a wide receiver? Are you a guy on offense in that locker room?
Yeah, no faith at all. I mean, there's no trust. Like, one of the most important things you have to have in a locker room or with any organization is trust. And if Justin Fields was feeling that way at a podium and he said that, there's no trust between him and the coaches. But you can see that play out. The plays that they gave him in those moments of that game, they didn't trust him, right? And certainly, I don't know if Justin has earned the trust of anybody, including his teammates. And that's on Justin. I mean, he has to understand this. Yeah, you ran for 1,000 yards, but you're not playing running back. You're playing quarterback, and that's completely different. You're one of, what, 3 or 4 quarterbacks to ever rush for 1,000 yards? I mean, if you really want to be known for that, okay. But you're not going to play quarterback in the National Football League that much longer.
Exactly.
There are 12.5-point underdogs on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs. But the question I think that I want to ask you, Pritch, is that can Fields be fixed, or is this a lost cause?
Attitude-wise, it's a lost cause. I mean, he's had enough starts already to where
5-22.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, he's getting to the point, and I said this on Lombardi Line on Monday, that he has to improve quick, fast, and in a hurry, or they're going to start looking for another quarterback if they haven't already. Like, they're not beholden to Justin Fields. I mean, look at Josh Rosen. I mean, look at all these quarterbacks that had so much promise that you don't live up to it. And maybe he wants out of there. You know, you don't just get to a podium and say those things if you are fully invested as a player with that organization.
You know what I look at, and it's a different sport, but I sit there and I watch this tape of him. It's like a 7-minute clip, right, of him answering. And I think of him, and then I contrast that with Coco Gauff, how in every post-match interview, she never misses a note. I mean, she's straight out of Central Casting, and how mature she is and how immature this guy is, and he's older than her.
Yeah, I mean, but so we hear the analogy too. You're supposed to be the CEO of the team. I mean, the face of the franchise if you're a quarterback. And there's so much going wrong with Chicago as an organization anyway.
Yeah.
And now you have a quarterback and a coaching staff that don't seemingly are on the same page, let alone they don't trust each other. That's a recipe for disaster. So I think he still has time to change if he wants to. But I'm not seeing a willingness from him to want to.
I was shocked that the defensive coordinator for the Bears resigned. I was more shocked to find out the Bears had a defensive coordinator.
Are you laying the 12.5?
I might. I mean, couldn't you legitimately say this number should be north of 14? But it's hard to make numbers that big.
Yeah.
Especially early in the season.
Kansas City doesn't cover.
Because they haven't been explosive offensively.
And they don't cover. But, I mean, Chris Jones already made an impact. Yeah. I mean, the guy wrecks an offense. But it's survivor or not.
What's
I mean,
that's
a survivor play there.
What's the final score in Oregon, Colorado?
Ooh, I'm going to go 45-32.
Mm.
So that's five TD passes for Bo Nix. Heisman talk starts tomorrow. That's it for us here on the Lombardi Line. Sharp Money's coming up next, but on the DraftKings Network, it's the Pablo Torre Show here on the DK Network.